Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I have a guest, and, you know, a lot of our guests tend to be from the entertainment world. We have a lot of singers on, some actors and directors, and, you know, playwrights, and that's really cool, and that tends to be where my head is at a lot of the time. But sometimes it's fun to go a little further afield for people who have interesting stories or life tales to tell, although this one is also an author, a fiction author, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but also her real life experiences in boardrooms. Kind of interesting there. So we have with us Kathleen Brush on the phone, and she's the author of the book Watch Your Back, The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes. And again, it's a fictional book. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it, Kathleen Brush?
Sure thing. Well, Watch Your Back is it's a novel about one of my real life nail-biting adventures. And what it describes is the story of a turnaround. So it's the turnaround of a software company, a public software company in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is just filled with horror.
Okay.
Everywhere you look, there's the protagonist is somebody that's very skilled in management and ready to turn around this really disastrous company. But there's no end in sight for horrible things that she has to undo in order to affect the turnaround.
Well, okay. I mean, what are some of the things that the book is based on in your personal experience of being a turnaround person?
Well, the downsizing, for one, or repeated downsizing, and the effect that has on the employees in addition to the shareholders,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, there's a lot of very interesting elements to that. Certainly downsizings are emotional events for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And it can bring out the best and worst in people when they're faced with losing their job. It's a frightening experience, and they will do the darndest things in order to prevent being downsized.
Well, what are some of the things that they've done that you've experienced?
Well, it's something that I call the workplace assassin phenomena. And what happens is that once people start thinking that there's a downsizing in the offing, what they do is they plan their strategies for how they're not going to be eliminated in the reduction. And what they will do is, you know, they'll turn on their best friends in order to try and get themselves placed in a better light than their best friends. And then after the downsizing, of course, there's some people that, you know, if the downsizing isn't handled properly, they become very violent.
Were you ever threatened, or did you go directly to the bosses, or what?
Well, I often am the boss.
Right. Okay.
So yes, I have been threatened. You know, there's been a couple situations where I've had to hire security companies to protect me. I've had people, you know, very large people, and I'm not very large, approach me and let me know that my health would be better if I left.
Well, what is your response to that? I mean, obviously they're really upset people, and yet they don't really have the right to do that. So how do you respond at that moment before you can call the security company?
Well, first of all, you have to be very, very cool.
Okay.
And, you know, you really have to assess the individual situation. You know, if you think that the person can be talked to, then, you know, you'll say something like, okay, well, let's sit down and discuss this. There's been one situation where the employee was completely out of control, and the only thing that I could think to do was to pick up the phone and dial 911.
Wow. Okay.
But it really is situational dependent, and, you know, if you know something about the employee, that'll help you.
Well, why didn't you get into this field? Which, let's face it, I mean, the first thing that turnaround tends to be is firing a bunch of people, which is not, you know, the most delightful job that people would definitely want to sign up for.
Enough said. The reasons for getting into this field are certainly not to fire people, because, as you've just said, firing people, that's never a good time. It's just not something that you ever want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But You get placed into situations as a turnaround executive that are just unbelievable. You walk into a company that has problems in all four corners of the building or buildings, and you now have a mandate to fix the problems. You know, so, yeah, there's the downsizing that takes place, but after that, you now have the opportunity to, you know, change roadkill into a respectable place of business.
Well, besides, after the firings are done, what are the other things that you do?
Well, when a company needs to be turned around, you know, the problems are not the employees, per se. The problems are that, you know, you've had management that has done a terrible job in terms of they don't have new products, you know, to drive revenue. Or they've been overspending in any number of areas.
Hmm.
And so, you know, my job then is to convert the company. You know, so we need to have a plan in place so that we can come up with new products, so that we can then drive revenue again, so that we don't ever have to do a downsizing again. You need to look for other places to cut costs, meaning other places other than employees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you really have to do a lot of detective work, because there's a lot of people that go to great pains to make it difficult for you to realize how money has been spent inappropriately.
And there's also inappropriate behavior. One of the things that in the pre-interview we were talking about is some of the things that CEOs and vice presidents were caught doing in corporate America that,
yeah,
you know, make your jaw drop, as it were, hopefully not literally.
Right, yes. Yes, the,
yeah,
yes,
you got
the,
that.
The,
okay.
The behaviors are, they're unbelievable. I think one of the stories I was telling you was in one company where I came in, the CEO had just resigned. And his moment of ultimate indiscretion was at the company Christmas party. And he was in a room with five women, and he said, "I slept with all but one of you. Can you guess who the unlucky one is?" Well, it just so happened that the unlucky one was the vice president of HR. And she didn't think the CEO was all that entertaining.
Well, Christmas parties tend to be, you know, I mean, that's legend where people get out of control. There ought to be a moratorium within, like, 24 hours after a Christmas party, I guess, for certain companies. The rest of the year, everybody's got to watch themselves, but you should be allowed to go over the line a little bit, no?
Not Dave, no.
No, okay.
Well, I mean, going over the line is one thing, but that story that I just told you, I mean, that's never acceptable.
Okay.
I mean...
I don't necessarily mean that particular story, but what about some other stories that, true stories that...
Oh, okay. And this one story is depicted in my book. This is this company had no new products, which is a kind of common occurrence. And there was a vice president of research who was in charge of new products, and, you know, he just kept saying that, you know, everything that he came up with just wasn't enough. Well, as it turns out, when we looked into this a little more closely, the only thing that he was researching was pornography. And his personal computer, you know, doubled for a XXX peep show. And this was going on for a very long period of time. You know, meanwhile, there's hundreds of employees that are counting on this person's leadership to develop new products so that the company can sustain itself.
Well, you know, a sexually satisfied leader is a good leader, I guess.
Well, no, he wasn't a married man with three children.
All right.
He
was
being paid a couple $100,000 a year to develop new products.
Hey, at least
and the company was not in the pornography business.
I know. Hey, but at least he was serving porn instead of boinking four out of five of the other people in his company. You know, that puts him one run above the other guy.
Well, now... You know, I'd never looked at it from that perspective, Dave.
Yeah, and, you know, he's touching himself, not the vice president of human resources. It's a step upward, you know?
Okay, well, then maybe let's see how you rank this one.
Okay.
In another company, the entire executive team was thrown out. And one of the things that the entire executive team partook in mm-hmm. was that they had created a club, and it was based off a spinoff off of Austin Powers and the bots that he has.
Yeah.
But, so in their club, they nominated attractive females to be fembots. And any female that was a fembot was entitled to perks such as bonuses, stock options, country club memberships.
Now, was this a secret club, were the women apprised of this, and they knew that if they called themselves fembots, they would be able to partake in these bonusi?
Yes, the women were aware of it.
Yeesh. Yes. All right, that's pretty, that's icky. I admit that's kind of icky.
Well, you know, and what's pretty crazy is that there were a lot of people in the company that knew about it. Hmm. But, you know, who do you tell?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's always been that sort of, I mean, if you go into any, major entertainment company, the person at the front desk is going to be a hot young woman.
Right.
Because that's the face that they want to show. So there's always going to be some slant towards attractiveness or sexual desirability, even if that is quote-unquote illegal or the ACLU would be up in arms or anything like that. So there's certain levels of that to be expected, however horrible that is.
Yeah.
So the fembot thing is just pushing it to...
Well,
you know what it is? I also think so many of these beeps and CEOs are coming out of basically frat boy college situations. This is the way they behaved, for 4 years when they were living in the dormitory. And they're just carrying on that basic sort of wild behavior into corporate America.
Well, you know, Dave, I think the thing that I find just... I mean, I understand where you're coming from and that you could be right. But the fact is that, we're talking about CEOs and other executives of companies, right? And what they should have been learning in college is how to run a company, how to motivate employees. And so, what they should have learned is whatever they were doing in the frat house, it doesn't apply in a business situation. And, these things are not funny. They destroy motivation and morale. They destroy shareholder value. They have no place in the corporate workplace.
Of course. I mean, yes. I'm. It's not so much that I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm trying to offer explanations and whatever. I'm not going rah-rah fembot. Although, I am auditioning fembots on the next episode of Dave's Gone By. The studio is at 404 Route 109 in West Babylon. Bring three costumes and handcuffs. Whoever's interested, and there's I'm going to be open about this. There's no age limit. So if you're 78, if you're 93, and you look good in the walker, come on by. There may be a bot slot for you. This will all go out in the editing.
Hi, this is Dr. Kathleen Brush, and I'm the author of Watch Your Back: The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes. And you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Why did you choose to write a fictional version of all this either how to save a company? Because how-to books tend to be, bigger sellers, actually, than fiction, I would figure.
Well, you know what? There was some method behind my selection. One, I have found that business books are extremely boring. And to me, that's one of my theories as to why there are so many incompetent people in business today. Frankly, they just don't find it exciting to learn about the craft.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, what if I create a business style book, but put it into the form of a page turning novel? That will make it more interesting, and perhaps people will read the entire book as opposed to a few pages and putting it on the bookshelf. But another reason is that, there's a lot of wicked people.
You're talking to one. Come on.
And Watch Your Back.
Oh.
There's a lot of wicked people there. And, I don't want, readers to think, this is, so-and-so from, the town of Ridge that's terrible. I'd prefer for them to think as that these are generic characters. Because in my experience, these awful people, they are pretty generic.
What was the most awful experience that you had, not so much with a fire, or all told together? What was, the one day that you had that you were like, you came home shell-shocked.
Well, I think that that would be the day that I found out that somebody on my staff was planning to contact the media with a fictitious story that made me out to be a female version of Dennis Kozlowski.
Hmm.
And at that point,
yeah,
all I had done was worked around the clock for months on end. Yeah, that was pretty shocking.
Why don't we kind of wrap up with this? By the way, I'm talking with Kathleen Brush, who is the author of Watch Your Back, The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes, which is, by the way, how can people get the book?
Well, you can get the book at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or you can look at excerpts from the book at SandpiperInnovationGroup.com.
Why don't you get a longer URL while you're at it?
Well, you know, the URLs are hard to get these days.
Oh, I know. Well, you go .net, .info, .org, .bot. Remember, if you're applying for the FemBot position, at Dave's Gone By, Dave's Gone By at bot. SandpiperInnovationGroup.com is to read excerpts of the book, which is again called Watch Your Back. But let's close with something positive. What are three things that most plague big businesses that are in trouble, and how do we fix them?
The number one thing that plagues companies is incompetent management. And, you know, the fix for that is to be much more careful in your selection. You know, I have this theory that oftentimes managers are anointed. But perhaps a better thing to do would be to test people on their qualifications for leadership and planning, et cetera.
Okay.
The second thing is badly run companies, they don't have processes in place. For example, for coming up with new products, and I know I've spoken a lot about that, because there are so many companies that fail because they can't continue to come out with new innovations. But they don't have a process in place for how do you go about coming up with concepts, how do you go about researching the concepts.
Hmm.
Once you have approved the concepts, how do you go about, you know, actually getting it into development, getting it out of development, into marketing, out to sales.
Cool. And one more thing.
One more thing. There is a lack of understanding as to what constitutes competition. I run into companies all the time when I ask them who their competitors are. They say, we don't have any competitors.
Oh, boy.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and it's, you know, they have defined themselves so, you know, into such a niche that they throw out everyone else. You know, whereas, you know, there's substitute products all the time. There's other products that provide larger functions that incorporate the functions. But it's a huge problem if you don't fully understand who your competition is, because that's who you've got to do battle with.
Well, I know there's a lot of competition out there for books and book sales, but I do want to tell people, hey, give this book a shot. It's called Watch Your Back, The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes. Yes, it's a fiction book, but it is based on real experiences and I'm assuming quite helpful in how to help make a company better, how to save a company. And want to thank Kathleen Brush, my guest on Dave's Gone By, for being a wonderful book bot on this episode. Best of luck with the book. Best of luck with everything. Thank you so much for being in the Daverhood.
All right. Thank you, Dave.